A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's revisit our top story today, of course, is the first day in our province where we won't criminally prosecute adults who are caught with less than 2.5 grams of hard drugs, including heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, ecstasy, morphine. BC will be the first jurisdiction in Canada to remove criminal penalties for possession. Many people across this country, across the world actually, are watching this pilot project. Since 2016, BC's declared a public health emergency. Nearly 11,000 residents have died of illicit drug deaths. Joining me now to talk about decriminalization is Jennifer Whiteside. She's BC's Minister of Mental Health and Addictions. Minister, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Jazz. Happy to be here.
It's a very historic day as this province begins a 3-year journey with this pilot project. Is decriminalization enough in regards to tackling this big issue?
Well, you know, Jazz, decriminalization really, it's one tool in the toolbox, and it has a very specific purpose, which is really around decriminalizing people who are using drugs and who are carrying small amounts for personal use. It really is about breaking down stigma and shame and the fear associated with using drugs.
Now, some would argue, would obviously agree with you, but would say, look, shouldn't the focus be on treatment? Why not focus on more rehab centers, a greater focus on more housing? They've argued that our neighbor, Alberta, is focusing in that direction rather than focusing on decriminalization. What do you say to that argument?
Well, you know, decriminalization is really about decriminalizing the people who are using drugs, you know, many of whom will have challenges with substance use disorder that need to find a pathway to care and support. It's in response to a call that has been made by people with lived experience, by law enforcement, by public health. So we've had a wide range, a very diverse range of partners come together at a table to sort of, you know, shepherd our application for the exemption to the federal government forward, and who will now, of course, continue to meet. So again, it is not a one thing or another on this in terms of how we respond to the toxic drug crisis. We have to do all the things. We have to continue the work that we've done, of course, to build out treatment spaces, to build out counseling, to build those pathways in our healthcare system so that people can access care and supports. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big focus of the $500 million investment that we made in Budget 2021, is, you know, working towards building out those services.
How many more treatment beds do you think this province will be able to open over the next couple of years, or at least even over the next 3 years, as this pilot project, as we monitor this pilot project? How many more treatment beds do you see in the upcoming year or two?
Well, you know, we have just in excess of 3,200 beds providing a range of services in the province. You know, that includes over 320 that we've added since 2017. You know, the health authorities are working hard with our many community partners who provide many of those services, as well as our sort of main partner, the Canadian Mental Health Association, which also provides those services. So we're looking to add beds all the time. Minister Dix just announced last week the expansion of sobering beds on the North Island. You know, we've opened sobering beds in Prince George. We continue really every week to make announcements about new and expanded services. And we'll continue to do that because that is such an important part of a key pillar of how we are combating the toxic drug crisis.
As many people would argue, you know, the 3,200 number and the 320 you've added is wonderful, but there's a lot more needed. Is there any talk of adding more budget for you, for the health ministry as well, to add significantly more treatment beds in the months and years ahead?
Well, we know that we need to be investing in all of the pillars that are supporting our approach. So the pillar that is related to community counseling services, for example, child and youth mental health through integrated child and youth teams, which are connected to schools, to our foundry services. We have 13 foundries operating now. We will have 23 by the end of next year. Those are very important services. And of course, yes, more different kinds of treatment spaces for people, as well as our efforts at separating people from the toxic drug supply through more access to prescribed safe supply. That's important. So all of these pillars are important, and this is a commitment that our government made. We made it with a significant investment, a $500 million investment in 2021. I mean, we're continuing to work with partners on the ground to build out these services. But I think it's really important to note that, you know, when we formed government in 2017, what we had really inherited was a collection of fragmented services. There had been no concentrated effort to pull together a system of mental health and substance use care and treatment and support. No effort made to really integrate that work into our healthcare system. And so that's the difficult work that we're doing now, is working on the ground with health authorities, with community service providers, to really pull all of those services into our healthcare system so that we see mental health and substance use care as really part of primary healthcare.
How do you define success when it comes to this 3-year pilot project for decriminalization? Some people may still be uncomfortable with it because it is not something we would have thought about 10, 15, 20 years ago. It is a different way to look at those who are dealing with substance abuse. But it is a 3-year pilot project. So how do you define success
right.
in regards to decriminalization?
Well, there'll be a number of measures, a number of criteria that Health Canada is looking at that they will be working with the Canadian Institute for Health Information on assessing over the course of their very sort of in-depth research project that is happening with respect to the pilot. But importantly, our core planning table, which has all of those partners I mentioned earlier, law enforcement, people with lived and living experience, public health providers, municipalities, will be working with everyone who is on the front lines of this crisis to understand how decriminalization is rolling out and where we need to be responsive to that. And I think that was a commitment that Dr. Henry made yesterday at the announcement, was that, you know, we will need to hear from people so that we can be responsive as it rolls out. But we'll be looking to see does that interaction, or are we gaining ground on destigmatizing the situation that people who use drugs are in? Are they able to reach out for care and support? Are there resource cards, which is the information that police are going to be providing to people when they're in those encounters, which is about connecting them to care and supports? Are people taking up those opportunities? Are they connecting with the substance use navigators that we now have in health authorities, who are people at the end of a phone when somebody calls? Are we seeing those numbers shift in terms of the people looking to access care and support? And how importantly, how are police experiencing? How are frontline officers experiencing the work and their important contribution to trying to change the nature of that encounter from one that puts an individual on a sort of criminal justice path as opposed to putting them on a healthcare path?
Final question to you. You know, I was reading about, obviously, today on the BBC website, Fox News is covering it, many other jurisdictions around the world are covering it. It's not just a local conversation or a national one, but an international one. As a minister, what goes through your mind in regards to the enormity of this change and this pilot project, number one? More importantly, what do you say to taxpayers who are listening to this today and they say, look, well, I understand where the minister's coming from, but I'm very hesitant with, you know, making these drugs legal or a small personal amount. They still are uncomfortable with it. What do you say to those taxpayers?
Well, I want to say first and foremost that it's important to remember that decriminalization isn't legalization. What we have is an exemption from the enforcement of federal law that continues to be in place that continues to name certain areas as continuing to be criminal. So these drugs are not permitted on school grounds. They are not permitted to be carried or used by people who are younger than 18. There are certain other exemptions for people working in federal services. So the federal government has been very, I think, prudent in their approach to the parameters that they've placed around this pilot project, recognizing that what we are trying to get at is those individuals who are carrying small amounts for personal use, who may well have a substance use issue that we need to try to support them in addressing. So that's really the objective here, and it's about the stigma. And I really go back to Catherine Blotchford and her incredibly courageous presentation yesterday at the announcement for decriminalization, just about not only the stigma that her husband who died to a toxic drug poisoning, not only the stigma and fear that he must have felt, but how that carried on to her and her family and her children and the challenges that they've had in overcoming that. And I think we have to remember this is our loved ones, our neighbors, people in our community, and we have to help. We have to step up and help and be there as a community for people. So today, I'm thinking about the 2,272 people who lost their lives last year to the toxic drug crisis.
Minister, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.